But in the fall of 1956, Brother John R. Rice and Brother Jack Hiles were preaching a sword conference in Walkertown, in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, the big city nearby. And Brother Bobby went to that conference on Monday night, and on Monday night they announced tomorrow afternoon, Tuesday afternoon, Jack Hiles is going to teach how to win someone to Christ in their home. It was a new concept. Brother Bobby had never heard of that before. So he went Tuesday afternoon with a notepad, took notes, and the little booklet that you know of as Let's Go Soul Winning by Jack Hiles had never been printed yet, but the same notes that are in that little booklet today, Brother Bobby wrote them down on Tuesday afternoon. Thursday night of that week, he took those notes and a deacon in his church and went out soul winning for the first time in his life and won a man to Christ. That man became a deacon in his church. For 17 years, Brother Hiles and I spoke in Brother Bobby's church every year in a conference. And every single year at that conference, Brother Bobby would tell that story. He would bring that deacon up on the platform. He would introduce him to the crowd. And Brother Bobby would tell how he learned to win folks to Christ in that sword conference. And Brother Hiles taught that. He's been pastoring the Gospel Light Baptist Church now for over 60 years. They have a beautiful auditorium, seats about 3,000. They often average over 3,000 for the year, sometimes 3,500. They've had over 4,000 on big days. A very strong, vibrant bus ministry. Never had a bus director. Brother Bobby's his own bus director. And they've run as many as 2,000 or more on their buses many times. And average that many, I mean, for the year, for many different years they've done that. For most of the 60 years he's pastored there, they've had anywhere from 600 to 700 to 800 people saved and baptized per year. There's no way for us to judge what I'm about to say, to know for sure, but the man who's going to speak for us in chapel today may be the most loved and most highly respected pastor in America today. Over 60 years pastoring the same church, nothing about it has changed one iota from the day he became the day he established what the church should be. Never varied, still winning souls, still running buses. It's just the same old Gospelite Baptist Church it's always been. And everybody knows Dr. Bobby Robertson is Brother Bobby. You can't talk to anybody in that part of North Carolina and mention Brother Bobby and they don't know him. Everybody knows Brother Bobby. And so we're just so thrilled to have him here today and tomorrow. Let's welcome Brother Bobby.
All right, bless you. You can be seated. Hi there. Hey. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Amen. That's good. God bless you. Be seated. Hey. All right. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, you know, I don't know where you're so thrilled to see me or where you decided you'd rather do that so you wouldn't have to hear me preach. I don't know what it is. What a joy to be here. So many things I'd like to say, and Lord willing, I'll be speaking in the morning. I could just talk to you about some things. And by the way, Brother Ray didn't tell you that I was 5 years old when I became pastor of that church, did he? All right. The Lord's been unusually good, and I take no credit of my own, only his goodness. Amen. Not many fellows would be able to pastor. I was born about 2.5 miles from where I'm pastored, and God has been so good through the years. And I appreciate Hiles Anderson College. Dr. Hiles, I owe much of my ministry to him. I think, and Brother Ray mentioned this, but I had never. You see, I went to church, and I got saved at the altar. And after I became pastor, hadn't been pastoring very long until I went to that meeting, but I'd go visit people and try to get them to come to church. I thought if we get them down to the altar to get saved. And I never heard of this thing of going out like that. And I'd been to this church before. Dr. Rice and Dr. Hiles were there every year for 2 days. And the church is about 7 miles from our church. And like he said, I went that day. And Dr. Hiles, on Monday night, he said, I want you to bring your pencil and paper. It was not in the afternoon, it was in the morning. At 10 o'clock, he'd have a service on Tuesday morning. And said, I want to teach you how to win a soul to Christ in their home, place of business, wherever. I never heard of that, boys and girls. And I took my pencil and pad. And Dr. Hiles, that morning, he set a chair out and let that be the door. And he knocked on the door, and then a man answered. And he went through how he approached a stranger, talked to him, and how he got into his house, how he went on. I took 35 points that he gave us, and I've still got those 35 points. And then he said, I went out on Thursday night. I told one of the deacons of church, I said, I believe I've learned something. Let's go see and put it in practice. And that night I led my first two. But I never forget, I'm going to tell you this. When I knocked on this man, you'd never believe I was backward, but I used to be. And I knocked on this man's door. I didn't know him. And I didn't tell him I was a preacher. I just told him my name and the fellow with me. And I said, we go to the Gospel Light Baptist Church, and we'd out do a little visiting. And he told us what his name was. And I said, could we come in? He said, sure. And I remember one of Dr. Hiles' points, be complimentary. Look around, be complimentary. Okay, I didn't know this couple hadn't been married very long. And he introduced his wife to me. And I was looking for sun. I said, you have a very nice place here. And he didn't say much. He was very quiet. He said, thank you. I was thinking, I said, I was looking for some pictures. I couldn't see a thing on the wall, not a thing. And I remember again, I said, this is very nice. He said, thank you. Where am I going next? I was trying to remember my points. And so finally I got down to this. I said, I guess you wonder what we're doing here, but I said, we're interested in people knowing that when you die, you're going to heaven. Do you know if you die, you go to heaven? And he said, no, I don't know it. He said, I try to do the best I can, don't go to church. And boys and girls, God's word, you don't have to argue with him, just give him the word. Amen. And when he said that, I slipped my testament out. And I said, well, would you let me know? Dr. Hiles taught us this. He said, don't never take your Bible. Get your testament. He said, if you ladies don't take, because the first thing when that man's opened the door, he's figured that man's going to try to cram religion down my throat. And the word. So anyway, so I pulled my testament out, and I said, if I could show you from the Bible how you can know you'd go to heaven, would you let me do that? And he said, yes. Now, he introduced his wife. She's sitting over here. My deacon was sitting here, and I'm here, and he's right here. So I started, you know, the story, the book of the Roman Trail. Okay. And I got down where, you know, we've all sinned, and through one man sinned in it, and so on. And I remember stopping before I got to Romans 10:9-10. And I said, how do you feel about this now? He said, according to that, I'm lost. See, God's word shows a man. And then I said, if you're lost, wouldn't you like to be saved? He said, yeah. And I'm going to tell you, boys and girls, I was shook up. I can remember very well. I asked him two more times. I said, you really would? I was thinking, where to go next? I was trying to think, you know. And he said, yeah, both times. And then I got to Romans 10:9 and started. And when we got to the 13th verse, and I said, now you're willing to right here by your knee, and let's put that in practice and ask the Lord. His wife, all he had done to introduce her to me, she's sitting over there. She come almost running across the floor. fell down on her knees, and she said, "Mister, don't leave me out. I want to be saved too." She was one of the sweetest Christians we've ever had. Every July, she'd write me a letter and thank me for knocking on her door. They're both in heaven now, had a wonderful testimony. And let me say this, whatever you do, it's very easy to get away from witnessing. But you never know. Could I tell you this about my son-in-law? I never know this till yesterday. My son-in-law, I have two girls and two boys. Okay, married my youngest girl. He was raised up in an Episcopalian church. Said he used to be a altar boy. I don't know. It sounded like Catholic to me. But anyway, he never knew the truth. And somebody gave him a tract 30 some years ago. Just said, "I want you to give you something to read." And he took it. And he said, "I'd read that thing." I kept it for a year. And I'd keep reading it every once in a while. Now, here's a man raised up, never known he was lost. But God used the word to show him. He got on his knees 30 years ago. He's my son-in-law now, and one of the finest Christians, teaches a class in our church. But listen, he said, he went by that track, and he said, "I accepted Jesus." And he went to a church and told them about it. Well, let me tell you, I've never wrote anything, but about, I don't know how many years, 40 years ago, I guess, I was preaching somewhere, and I was in a motel reading my Bible. And just like that, seemed like a thought, you ought to write down a tract. And I guess in 5 minutes, I wrote a little tract, some things God wants you to know. And we published it. Now, I asked him a year or two ago, I said, "By the way, Mark, what was that tract you read?" And he's got our tracts, but he didn't know I printed. He said, "It says some things God wants you to know." I had the joy of writing a tract 40 years ago that my son-in-law, God used it to get him saved. You don't never know. God's word will never return void. Now I'm going to give you a scripture in John chapter 14 this morning. John chapter 14. If you know anything about the Bible, you know John 14 and John 3:16, don't you? But you remember what Jesus told them, "Let not your heart be troubled." These disciples were upset because he was facing the cross. He was talking about leaving them. They had been with him for 3 years or more. And Jesus was telling them there that the way to heaven. But he comes in and he talks about the Holy Spirit coming. As he goes away, he's going to live in your heart. But right here, I quote this verse a lot. But what the other day I was reading it, and I just got a blessing. Now look at verse 27. Notice what Jesus said. Verse 27, John 14. He said, "Peace I leave with you." Now notice, I'm going to go, but I'm going to leave my peace with you. Yeah, you get that? All right. He said, "My peace, I'm going to give it to you." Okay, not like the world, no, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He said, "Don't let your heart be troubled, and don't let it be afraid." Now, this is what I'm trying to say. This is my title this morning. What did Jesus leave with us? He said, "I leave you peace." Boys and girls, you got the world, the flesh, the devil to fight all the time, and out there sometime, old Satan will say to you, "Well, look at this young man, young woman that I, young girl that I raised up with and all, and look like they're having a better time than I am." And if you get around them, if you're not careful, you get your eyes on the world and on things. But this is what I want to mention. I got 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 15, I don't have any points I got here, not many, but you just think now what we have that they don't have. Now you think of that, what we have that they don't have. I put down, number one, we've got peace in our hearts. Now, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he gave you a peace not come from the world, but a peace through what he done on the cross of Calvary. And so you've got peace. You know what, Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God's against sin and all of sin. And you boys and girls know that. And the only way that God's going to be satisfied is it's going to have to be paid for. And when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for our sin. And that made peace with God through Jesus Christ. And then not only that, but if you remember over there in Philippians chapter 4, he said, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord's at hand. You remember he said in that Philippians chapter 4, he said here, don't, so to speak, don't get uptight about everything. He said, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanks, let your request be made known to God. And what's the result? The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ. You see, we got peace with God, and as we obey him, we experience the peace of God in our life every day. Now, I may refer to some, you never heard of these fellows. Some of these men have. Dr. Joe Henry Hankins preached for me one time. Dr. Hankins was a pastor, I think, one time of the First Baptist Church, I believe it was in Little Rock, Arkansas. But he told us a story that I never forgot. He was in evangelism. That's been years, 50 years or more ago, I guess. He said he preached one Sunday night, on Jesus, the way of peace. And he says a nice-looking young man came in back there, and he said he came forward. Dr. Hagin said, I talked with him. He wanted to be saved. And he couldn't understand anything, so I went on, dismissed the service, and took him back in my office. And the man got saved. Okay. He said he was there, I think he said, about 6 weeks in his church. He was so happy. Said one day he called me, and he said, preacher, could I meet you at the church? It was during the week. I'd just like to talk to you a moment. He said, I met him. And he said, you don't know my whole story. But he said, my father is a multimillionaire. And he said, I can have anything I want. He said he's called and he's having some problems with one of his factories on out west, and I'm gonna have to leave to help him. But listen, this is what Brother Hankins said. He said that young man said, I'd tell my dad I wanted to take a tour sometime all around the world. He said he'd sign a check and I could fill it in. And he said, Brother Hankins said tears came in his eyes. And he said, Brother Hankins, I've been all over the world several times, but I never had peace till that night in your office. And he said, I want to ask you if you'll please do something for me. I've got to go. But will you keep telling that story? Because you're looking at a man that tried everything in the world as far as materialism. And some of you might sit here today and say, boy, I wish somebody'd give me just all I want. Well, that won't bring the peace. And the world is after that right now. And you know that, but there's no peace there whatsoever. No peace. I had a man died last night. I led him to the Lord 55 years ago. And he's been in bad health for some time. And he said to me the other day, he said, preacher, oh, if Jesus would just take me on to heaven, I'd be so thrilled. Now, you don't get that from church membership. You don't get that from the world. And he kept telling his wife, he said, honey, I'll meet you, but just take me on to heaven. And I got a call last night. He slipped out to glory, you see. I had a precious wife. We lived together 66 and a half years. Got married with teenagers, one of best Christian women I've ever met in my life. And she died with a heart attack a year and a half ago. I miss her awful bad. But you know what she said? I mean, as calm as you're sitting here. We sitting there one night, and she never said anything like this before. She called me daddy, and I called her mama. And we sitting there in the room, and she looked over at me, and she said, Daddy, I just might go on and be with Jesus anytime. I said, Mom, don't talk like that. I can't live without you. And she said, well, if I do, I'll be waiting for you. Now, folks, you don't get that through nobody but Jesus Christ. That's what I'm trying to say. Now, let me mention something else here. These people have no purpose in life. Now, I don't care if you've been called to preach or if you're a teacher or if you don't know where you're going. If you're a child of God, he's got a purpose for you. And the world out yonder, they grab at this and they grab at that and they grab at the other. But there's no, listen, Jesus in John 17, you remember what he was praying right before he went to the cross? He said in John chapter 17, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. You and I have been sent by God to represent him. I read an article here several years ago. I'm trying to think of his name, but that doesn't matter right now. But he was when the fellas traveled on trains, they didn't have planes, and he was on a plane, and on the train, and said that man sat down there and he handed him a tract, said, sir, I'd like to give you something to read, and said he just threw it out and said, tend to your own business. And this preacher sat there for quite a while, rode along, and he said he got up, he picked up that tract, and he said, sir, I don't mean to make you mad, but this is my business. I'm from heaven. That's my home, and God's left me down here to tell you how to get there. See, there's a purpose. You got a purpose in life, friend. Don't get your eyes on all this thing of these bright lights of the world and get out there and all of that. No, no, no. Just remember, if you're saved, God, he's got a purpose. He wants to use you. You know, the world don't read the Bible. They're reading my life and your life. That's why that the Lord Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify my Father which is in heaven. We ought to just so live dedicated to Jesus that people could take knowledge we've been with him. You see, that's our purpose. And so many things I could say about this. Oh, you think about the work of the Lord. Over there in Galatians chapter 6, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. In a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. See, nobody else can do that. But you and I are here to represent Jesus. We have a purpose in life and to represent Jesus and those that fall by the wayside to love them. Oh, the work of God. Don't you love the work of the Lord? You know, people say, when are you going to retire? I said, you'll have to ask the Lord about that. I told him about that church, if Jesus tarries his coming and gives me the mind, the health, and strength, I plan right now to pastor till I'm 100, then I'm going to retire and preach around different places the rest of my life. See, that's in the hands of the Lord. And God's given us a purpose. And then I put down here another thing he's given us. Now listen, he said, my peace I give, and he give these things too with his peace. He give us power in our lives to overcome. Power to give us victory. Now you think for a minute when them disciples was out yonder going across the Sea of Galilee and that big old storm come up, and the storms will come in your life. But wait a minute. Jesus can take care of them. You know how he stepped out on the deck of that ship? He said to the wind, lay down, and it obeyed him. He said to those waves, quit, and everything cleared up. I mean, that's our Savior, and he gives us that power. No way can I have the power over the world, the flesh, and the devil, but Jesus can. I like what a little boy said one day after he got saved, and he had a bad temptation to sin, and he said, Jesus, the devil's at the door, and I'm scared of him. You answer for me. That's good. That's good. Don't you never get to the place that you think you're so smart, my friend. No, don't you never do that. And you young preacher boys, don't you get to the place you think you're something. There's no flesh going to glory in his presence. You remember that. And I'm just saying, all the power that you and I may have to overcome the heartaches and battles. I told them last Sunday night, we've had 13 or 14 times we're in our third auditorium there now. And I said, I don't want to hear this thing. Look what Brother Bobby's done. I said, I haven't done anything. If there's anything good around here, you better give God the glory. It's not me. And that's true. I'm just saying, my friend, that he gives us a purpose, he gives us power, and bless God, he gives us provisions. You know what he said? He said, seek ye first the kingdom, not second, but first the kingdom of God, and the things you need will be added. Yes, sir. I can do all things how? Through Christ who strengthened me. So I'm just saying all the provisions you need. Can you look back and see how God brought you through this and that and the other? Yeah. I mean, sometimes it looks like everything is going to fold up. Well, I'll tell you this right quick. About a year ago, some lawyers called me. Now, our church is 7 or 8 miles out of this town of Winston-Salem. You probably heard of that. And a lawyer called me. I didn't know him. And he said, Reverend Robertson, he said, you got a little feller, his name is Hooks. Rode your buses for years. And he's passed away. And said he didn't have any living relatives whatsoever. And he said, I'm a lawyer here in Winston-Salem and some businessmen here. And he'd come around and talk to us, and we just loved him. And said, we cremated his body. And we have the urn. And said, we got together. We know, said he loved your church so much, he talked about it all the time. Could we come out there sometime during the week and maybe 35, 40 of us, and would you have a little memorial, sir? I said, well, I'd be glad to. So they did. I didn't know many of them businessmen, and they had them ashes down there, you know, and so we sung a song and went on talk. About a month after that, I got a letter from, I don't know what lawyer it was, and he said, Mr. Hooks has left your church in his will, and you'll be getting some. They didn't know he had anything. He lived in a little shack-like place out there and rode our buses, and I don't think the little fellow was there. I said, weighed a little over 100 pounds. And I mean, for years, he was a bus rider. And I said, my soul, you know. And you know, we got a check a few weeks after that for $80,000+ to the church. God will make a way. He'll do that. That's what I could stand here and tell you all on and on how I've seen God move on the scene and do. You know, I was up here in 2011 and spoke. And my car was pretty good, but I've had some that wouldn't. And I don't ask nobody to give anything. And did you know this place gave me a 2011 Lincoln? I mean, I'm a big wheel now. Man, right around in that big Lincoln, you see. I can remember, boys and girls, I remember back in my earlier ministry, and I was trying to raise a family, and just had a time. My old cars, they tore up all the time, and one of the fellas, two different places, I'd take it by their garage, and they'd work on it. One of them said, I'm not going to take a penny. I said, I don't want to be a deadbeat. You. No, I'm not. He said, every time I work on your car, I get better business. I want to keep it up. Okay. So I led another, now this is back in the early 60s, run a little garage, automobile garage, and I led him to the Lord. He's 28 years old there in Walkertown. He got to working on my car, and he kept saying, you need a new car. I never thought I'd ever have a new car. I said, man, I can't afford no new. Oh, you need a new car. And it's on and on. Very backward fella. One day he walked in the office, and he had a piece of notebook paper, and he said, I've been telling people to come in my place that my preacher needs a car. Would y'all like to give something? I said, what in the world you mean, boy? You ought to do it. He said, well, now, you go trade cars. And I had a 58 Plymouth, and it was troubled and all. Anyway, that man gave me a piece of paper and had $5, $1, $2, wrote down people who give it. I had no more idea that something was going to happen like that than you would. And it was $1,000 altogether. And he said, now, if you need more, just let me know. I'll get your car. I said, EJ, I am not going to do it. Son, you shouldn't do this. He said, yeah, I like you because you're the first man ever talked to me about my soul. I didn't get no more, but I took that $1,000, took that old Plymouth, and I knew the dealer down at the Pontiac Buick place. Never drove a Buick in my life. And I went down there and I told him about that. He said, come back here. If that fellow do that, I'm going to do it. He put me in a new 1964 LeSabre Buick. And I drove out of there. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you just look back and see this thing, how it goes on. I could tell you so many stories. I'm just saying God will always provide for you. He'll provide for you. And that's something he gives. He gives us peace. He gives us a purpose in life. He gives us the privilege of prayer. Listen, you can't pray. You may say some prayers, but you'll never get through to heaven only through the one mediator, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the only way. And we have that privilege, praise the Lord. And then I want to say this. He's given us a great promise that we're going to live in a better place. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath in the heart of man the good things God hath prepared for them that love him. He's got a place. I get so tired of seeing so much sin and mess, but Jesus is give me a promise that he's coming again. Amen. And it may be today. The Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout. The voice of the archangel, trump of God is going to sound. The dead in Christ is going to rise. You know, my wife and I had plots at Memorial Garden. But we have a little cemetery behind our church that started years ago. And I don't know, I got my children together, and my wife died with a heart attack. And I got my children together, and we decided to bury her there. We had a place. And the church, the deacons come and said, now, preacher, we want the church to get a crypt and put her casket in it. And so they did, right up on the corner, a nice place with her name and a place in my name there. My children said, now let's put this scripture this. I said, no, wait a minute. There's some kind. I said, all I want on there is this. In big words. Waiting for the rapture. And if you ever come to Gospel Light and you go down behind our church, my little sweetheart, little body's in there. And I walk down by there once in a while and I stop. I know she's not there. She's in heaven. But I say, honey, I don't believe this old body will ever be put beside of yours. I said, you'll come out and we'll go up together. Nobody knows when a rapture is going to take place. But I believe with all my heart, and I may die tonight, but I believe I'll be alive when it comes. I'm waiting for the shout. And what a joy. Boy, you think about what Jesus has left us. We ought to serve him with all our hearts, my friend. That's right. What a love him and serve him and get close to him. I was at Highland Park Baptist Church when Dr. Lee Robertson, you've heard of him, he, no relation, name spelled just like mine, but it'd been all right if he had been. He was pastor. Dr. Charles Weigel wrote the song, "No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus." In Dr. Weigel's latter days, I understand he didn't have any relatives living. He's up in his 90s, and Dr. Lee Robertson fixed him a place there to live on their campus. Okay. Now, he had already passed away when Dr. Hiles told us, but I was there listening to Dr. Hiles preach one night at Highland Park in Chattanooga, and he told this story, what I'm fixing to tell you. He said, I asked Dr. Robertson, Weigel was still alive then. He said, where is Dr. Weigel? I miss him. I want to see him. He said, Brother Hiles, he's not really able to come to church tonight. He's down some hall back in there. Said that's where he's at. Dr. Hiles told from the pulpit, preaching at night. He said, I asked Lee Robertson, could I go see him? He said, sure, and told him where he was. And after service, Dr. Hiles said, I went, stood outside, and he was talking to somebody and said, I waited 5-10 minutes. I wanted to see him so bad, and he kept talking. And he said, I thought I'm just going to interrupt him anyway. And Dr. Hiles said, I knocked on his door, and he opened the door. He said, "Brother Hiles, come in." And Dr. Hiles said, "Well, I've been standing out here for quite a while, and I don't want to interrupt you and your company." Said, I just want to speak to you. And he said, "I don't have any company. Come on in." He said, "Well, I've been listening to you talk." He said, "Well, Dr. Hiles, don't think I'm crazy. But," he said, "I'm going to see Jesus before long." I was just talking to him. We was having a good time. Dr. Hiles said, there he stood, that 94, 95, something like that, year old man. And there he stood, and he didn't have his shoes on. Dr. Hiles said, I said, "Well, where's his shoes?" He said, "It's got so rich in here, I've been jumping up on the bed, jumping up down on the bed, having me a good time." Let me tell you something, boys and girls. Don't you never let the world attract you away with all the good things Jesus has got. When you get cold in your heart, you get bitter, critical, get right with God and get back to the foot of the cross and just love Jesus. Just love him. That's what I mean. Just love him. I'll quit after this, but my time's always already up. I heard Dr. Bob Jones Sr. preach. In fact, he preached one time in our church. And he was preaching in Charlotte, North Carolina. But first time I ever heard him preach. Now, he founded the university, you know what I'm talking about. And when he walked up to preach, him and Dr. Robertson and I think Dr. Rice were preaching together. And I went to hear him. I just hadn't been saved long. And Bob Jones walked up to the platform. He said, "Let's pray." I can tell you almost now the words that man. Be honest, I don't know all about the Bible, but I didn't know that man never seen the Lord. And I opened my eyes to see if I could see Jesus. I never heard a man pray like that. I thought this man, he started a college, he'll be so dead and form. I was thinking all that stuff. Here's what he said. "Dear Jesus, I love you. I thank you for dying for a little old South Alabama boy like me." He said, "I thank you." This is what he's praying now. He said, I thank you for sending the Holy Spirit and convicted me and showed I need to be saved. I thank you for the faith you give me to trust you." He said, "You're such a wonderful Savior." I think he got carried away and wasn't nobody else around but him and the Lord. And he said, "You put so many stars out there, I've never been able to count them. That beautiful moon and sun." And folks, listen, when that man closed his prayer, he said, "By faith, I just want to get up here in your lap and put my arms around your neck and tell you how much I love you." Amen. Took off preaching. Not many people live that close to him. You don't have to go out here just contemporary junk. Get a little racket. Bless God, you get close to Jesus and you don't need a racket anyway. You just need his presence. You just need him with you. And you do that and stay in the old book. Keep your eyes on him. Don't let the world attract. Don't let the crowds attract you. Just walk on. He said, "I give you these things." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray.